This is a Hurricane Dorian special edition of the Commute Podcast, presented by National Office System. Welcome to the Commute Podcast, where all the traffic is headed west, at least for today. Today is Tuesday, September the 3rd, and Savannians are under a mandatory evacuation order. Not so far from our bunker, I think that's what we would call our office here, at least during hurricane times, is Interstate 16, where all the lanes are indeed headed west. Contraflow is going, and folks are evacuating. So whether you have already evacuated, you're en route, or you're hunkering down, thanks for listening. I'm Adam Van Brummer, your host and the editorial page editor of the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. We'll post daily episodes of The Commute throughout this week to keep you updated on the latest Hurricane Dorian-related goings-on around here. And we'll also mix in a conversation or two on another topic each day. On today's episode, Chief Chuck Kearns with Chatham Emergency Services, better known as Southside Fire, calls in to talk about final preparations ahead of Hurricane Dorian's arrival. Then we'll close with a movie discussion with The Commute's producer, Zach Dennis, who will be attending the Toronto International Film Festival starting Thursday. But first, a word about National Office Systems. I'm sleeping in the office this week, so I can attest to the importance of comfort and functionality in office design and furnishings. National Office Systems has mastered the art. National Office Systems has been Savannah's trusted local resources of offices since 1985 and is the exclusive local provider of Dirt Modular Interiors and Herman Miller Office Furniture. Learn more at natoffsys, that's natoffsys.com. Now here's that interview with Chief Chuck Kearns of Chatham Emergency Services. So Chief Kearns is with me now, and the reason I reached out to Chuck is largely because the Chatham Emergency Services on the fire side serves the part of Savannah that is most likely to be affected in the instance of this storm, and that's the islands in the eastern side of Savannah. But it's also important to note that Chatham Emergency Services provides ambulances for all over the county. So Chuck, I know this has been a thing. We've been watching this storm for a week. Now we're at the hurry up and wait point, right?
Yeah, we actually started our storm preparation meetings the middle of last week, and we were getting together four times a day with our operations and logistics teams to make sure everybody knew what their assignments were. We were doing things like checking and starting the rescue boat motors, making sure there was plenty of fuel for those and for the all the chainsaws that we carry on all the fire trucks. Because if trees come down, we're the first ones in, and we have to cut access into neighborhoods so that fire trucks and ambulances can get in. Mm-hmm. But as you also said, on the ambulance side, we are the dedicated, exclusive 911 ambulance provider in the county. So it doesn't matter where you are in the county. If you call 911 for an ambulance, you'll get one of our units. Mm-hmm.
So what is the plan? I know right now when you look at the track of the storm, it looks like we might not be impacted, but this thing's still well south of us. If this thing veers or wobbles or whatever you want to call it, is you have your personnel in place, what is the plan of action?
Okay, so yesterday afternoon, late yesterday morning, we issued a mandatory recall for all EMS personnel, and they were all in here by middle of the afternoon yesterday. So they are living in the fire stations when they're not on duty, and everybody's pulling 12-hour shifts. Mm-hmm. So we staffed up to every ambulance that we have available. There's 47 ambulances on the road right now as we speak, and our normal weekly or daily deployment during the week is 35. Okay. So you can see we've got many more people on duty. We did a mandatory recall of all the firefighters for 6 a.m. this morning. So all the firefighters are here also on duty, living in the stations. And, we're set now for operations. Nobody's going home until, the all clear is called, if you will. And, we've been, doing things like testing the generators at the fire stations, testing all of the chainsaws in case we do have to cut our way into neighborhoods, making sure that everybody's getting fed three meals a day. So there's like a day shift, if you will, of EMS. Mm-hmm. They're working from 7A to 7P. Then we send them to different fire stations where we have quiet areas, and we own 150 cots. And so 150 people are sleeping, if you will, at one point, and the other half of them are up and out and about. We also brought all the mechanics in case, you know, units break down or whatever, or need service. And so, you know, everybody's just here, the entire staffing and complement of fire and EMS for the county, are here and on duty and ready to respond.
I think one place people are going to be watching is the farther east you go. And obviously Tybee, I know you have an ambulance station out there. There's talk of some tides. I know we have somebody that came from Isle of Hope this morning, and the causeways are already getting inundated. How are you going to deal with high tides and things at Tybee if it gets a little rough?
So we deal with that on a kind of a routine basis anyway, but the plan is when we know or have a very high suspicion that the roadway is going to be inundated with water and impassable, we do have three things that we enact. The first is we send a second ambulance out to Tybee, so we have two paramedic ambulance crews that are dedicated out there. And we have arrangements with the Chatham County Marine Patrol. If we had to transport somebody by water to get them into a place where they could meet up with another ambulance and get them to the hospital, or if it's possible, if the conditions allow, we also have an agreement with the Coast Guard that they would do the air transport of any patients out there. So we staff up and, you know, ride it out. When the city of Tybee makes a determination that all city employees are going to evacuate, so when, you know, the mayor's office says, okay, police department, fire department, let's go, we're leaving the island, that's when the ambulance will leave.
Interesting.
And if the city of Tybee does evacuate like that, when they do go back out, we are with them in that procession as mm-hmm. well. So we also, speaking of islands, we have a dedicated paramedic on Skidaway, 24/7, 365. We have assigned a dedicated ambulance to the jail as well to complement the medical staff that's already out there.
Yeah, we had in the paper tomorrow, which I think the story's already up, that the sheriff has decided he's going to keep all 1,800 inmates here and not evacuate them. So they definitely need some extra support out there.
Yeah, and we actually transported a couple of inmates out already for safety because they had some medical conditions that it would be better if they were in a different location. So that's been taken care of. And talking about evacuation transports, I think it was like roughly 29 neonatal babies from two different medical facilities here in the county. Those were all transported out. That was completed yesterday, mm-hmm. as well as evacuating some low-lying nursing homes and a hospice.
Okay, excellent. Last thing I wanted to ask you about, and that's something you touched on a little bit earlier, is that you guys are kind of the first responders in terms of clearing the roads. And before we hit the record button, you were talking a little bit about how much you actually cut up after Hurricane Matthew. And I live on Wilmington Island. I remember coming out there the day after the storm, and just it was unbelievable the amount of wood yeah. that was laying on the ground and across the roads. Can you kind of take us back and talk about the aftermath of Matthew and what you had to do there?
Well, it's interesting. I think if I remember correctly, the county manager's office had said that it was something like $8 million to clean up just Wilmington Island. After that storm. For Hurricane Matthew, we divided the fire department into three battalions, and one went, you know, on the western side, one was Central County, and one was East. And we wound up cutting our way into an estimated 700 miles of county roads to gain access. What we do is we cut the trees that fall across the road apart wide enough that we can get emergency vehicles through, so wide enough to get a fire truck or an ambulance through. And I think the tabulation was something like 12,000 trees that, you know, needed to be cut up for access. In comparison with Hurricane Irma, that was more of a water event than Matthew was. We cut up, you know, maybe a dozen trees that were blocking roads. As we do cut our way into neighborhoods, we note damage to homes and businesses, buildings. If there's a tree on a house, or if there's power wires down, we report all that immediately to SEMA, and then they know where to send the power company trucks and so on.
Right. Well, thank you for what you do, and here's hoping that it's a quiet next couple of days for you.
Well, thanks, but even if it's not, everybody can rest assured that fire and EMS, we're here, and we're ready to respond if you need us.
Great. Great. Great info from Chief Kearns there. Let's take a moment before we turn to Zach to talk about one of our sponsors, Freedom Boat Club. With a hurricane coming, things are buttoned up for the week over at Freedom Boat Club, but it won't be long and the water will come calling again. That's when you should call Freedom Boat Club. With Freedom, you buy a membership, not a boat. Freedom members have access to more than 24 boats, from party barge pontoons to inshore fishing skiffs, and all of them are decked out with the latest gadgetry. Best of all, Freedom members don't have to worry about storing, maintaining, cleaning, insuring, or quite frankly, pulling them out of the water and getting them out of the way and worried about them during a hurricane. That's all part of the package with Freedom. If this is your idea of the boating lifestyle, contact Steve Sherman, 912-226-2617, or visit freedomboatclub.com and complete the information request form. Mention this podcast and receive a free hat and t-shirt combo. Again, that phone number is 912-226-2617, and the website is freedomboatclub.com. Freedom Boat Club, get on the water today. So now that we've had plenty of hurricane discussion on Hurricane Day here on The Commute, we're going to bring in producer Zach, who is evacuating from the hurricane all the way to Canada. I think it might be the farthest evacuation in history, that or he's trying to escape the shame of the University of Tennessee's loss to the mighty Georgia State Panthers this last weekend.
I'm pretty indifferent to that. I mean, it's been a long, slow decline. I went there for the 4 years that I went there. I didn't see any good football, so I can't say that doesn't really surprise me.
And you're still not in all these years.
I'm still not seeing anything. So,
hope springs eternal. There's always next year, even though it's
Let me tell you, they've been saying that since 1999. So.
Since Peyton Manning left campus, right?
Exactly.
All right, enough football. Today we're going to talk film, and Zach is going to Toronto to go to the Toronto Film Festival. This was scheduled before the hurricane, just for the record. And he goes up there every year, and he is a cinephile. He does his own podcast. His second year. Mm-hmm. Well, that's every year, at least the last two.
True.
And Zach is a cinephile who has his own podcast. What's the name of that podcast again?
Cinematary. If you follow us on Twitter and Facebook, we'll be having updates throughout the festival because it's me and two other people.
Good.
So.
So what are you going to see when you're up there? I know just from doing a little cursory examination, it kind of looks like it's 1968 again. I see Tom Hanks is in a Mr. Rogers movie. You have me at Hello, Renee Zellweger is playing Julie Garland in a movie. Do we got anything that's a little more modern?
A little bit more modern. I don't know about that. I'm going to an avant-garde program called Wavelengths that I'm sure will be very modern. There'll be a lot of shapes and noises and sounds if that's your fancy. No, the one I figured that Savannah audiences would be curious about is the movie Ford v. Ferrari. It takes place in 1966.
1966.
It's close. It's close. And it's the two automotive engineers doing a race against each other. And it stars Matt Damon and Christian Bale. They're not playing Ford and Ferrari. They're playing, I guess, pitmasters for either side. Mm-hmm. But it came here to Savannah for a little while, filmed a couple scenes, I think out on Hutchison Island, but don't quote.
Oh, yeah, the old track.
Yeah. I think
one-time track.
I think so, yeah. And so it's directed by James Mangold. He's been doing a couple of the X-Men movies recently. And the trailer's been out for a while. It looks kind of neat, you know. The racing movies are always kind of interesting, and they got good stars in it, so it should be kind of a fun one.
Yeah, I watched a racing movie on my Roku recently. Had Sly Stallone as a Formula One driver. That was not a very good one.
Yeah. There was Ron Howard did, or not, Ron Howard doesn't make very good movies, but he did a decent one recently.
The speed movie.
Rush.
Rush. Didn't one of the drivers recently died?
Yeah, he did that one. That one's solid. So I'll be curious to see this. I like the director's good. It seems kind of like a, you know, those are good. Matt Damon and Christian Bale are hard to like totally hate. So I'm like, it should be kind of a good time. And there's the Savannah connection. The other one that I know is big on a lot of people's, especially comic book fans list, is the Joker movie, the origin story of the character that most people know from the Batman movies. Joaquin Phoenix is playing Joker. It's directed by Todd Phillips, who has made modern masterpieces such as The Hangover, The Hangover 2, and The Hangover 3.
Maybe not the last.
And I'm going to go see that. It just premiered actually at the Venice Film Festival, and it's been relatively mixed. I've seen that some people who have really, really enjoyed it as kind of a different take on a superhero movie. It's being framed kind of as somewhat like Taxi Driver or King of Comedy. I think it kind of has that Scorsese element to it, where it's he's kind of this misunderstood misanthrope who's trying to make his way in the world of comedy. I'm not super excited or anticipating it. I don't know. I don't really feel like we need a movie origin story of this character, but I'll go see it just for the sake of giving the giving the review.
And we've seen Joker in two Batmans, and I think they've had they've gone over his origin in both.
We watched,
Nicholson was great.
We watched Nicholson fall in the vat of goo, so we know what happened with him.
And then the other one, I maybe they didn't introduce
they didn't really introduce Heath Ledger's one, but I don't know. It's a character who you know just gets off on chaos, and I'm like, do we in this kind of cultural climate where we have a lot of violent things happening constantly? Do we really need like to glorify this violent character? But that's a whole other podcast that I can get into. I'm sure I will on the Cinematary feed.
And that's two hard acts to follow. I mean, Nicholson was Nicholson and Ledger. A lot of people consider that performance of him as a Joker as one of the best of his career.
He won an Oscar for it. At least Heath Ledger did. Posthumously. There we go.
Is that
struggling.
Philanthropy. Look at that.
Posthumously. I said it this time. He did that. It's. I guess we're not even mentioning Jared Leto, who played the Joker as well. So that's how bad or forgettable his performance is, that Jared Leto was also the Joker in a movie. But there's some ones I'm really excited to see, actually. There's The Laundromat. I love Steven Soderbergh. His new movie, it details the crimes that were detailed in the Panama Papers. It's Meryl Streep, Gary Oldman, Antonio Banderas, Steven Soderbergh. That sounds like a fun one.
Yeah, Laundromat, the title just got me.
I mean, if you've seen him doing kind of heist crime movies, whether it's the Ocean movies, whether it's Out of Sight, like he just does those so well. There's one that I'm excited about called Uncut Gems. This is one that I hope people will check out, and this is going to kind of blow a little bit of some minds. It stars Adam Sandler, and not an Adam Sandler-y role. The directors, the Safdie brothers, directed one of my favorite movies from 2 years ago called Good Time, which if you have not seen that, I think it's on Amazon Prime, and I would recommend giving that a watch if you are missing those kind of grimy, gritty 70s 70s kind of crime thrillers a la Dog Day Afternoon Chinatown, something like that. If you're missing kind of those but want to see it in more modern times, I would recommend that this is their follow-up to that, and Adam Sandler is playing the lead role in that. It looks pretty interesting. I'm going to go see that one of the days.
His buddies in it? Everything he makes now has...
No, Rob Schneider and Kevin James, I don't think, made the cut for it. The other one I'm kind of interested in to see is Taika Waititi. He directed the latest Thor. He's been doing the Thor movies. He directed what he is calling a daring, touching comedic satire. It's about a young German boy who discovers a Jewish girl hiding in his home and consults with his imaginary best friend, played by Waititi, who his imaginary best friend is actually Adolf Hitler. So Waititi is playing it's the Hitler role. But he said it's the feel good satire of the year.
Feel good.
I'm
envisioning that right now.
I don't know what it's. If you've seen Taika Waititi's movies, I think you have what We Do in the Shadows and Hunt for the Wilder People. He's a really good director and a very funny director. So I'm going to be curious to see what he does with a Nazi satire in 2019.
That's a tough.
It's one that
it's a tough sled in there.
Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff, and I think mainly overall, it's going to be nice to be in Toronto where the weather is not like Savannah.
Right, and of course, Toronto leads us here to SCAD Film Festival, and I know some of the officials from SCAD are going to be in Toronto as well, probably recruiting.
Yeah, Caitlin Wallace, who runs the festival, she's going to be there looking at films. Like I said, like the Ford versus Ferrari film, there's some big stars in that, and it has the Savannah connection. They did that last year with The Front Runner. They got Hugh Jackman and Jason Reitman in town after they filmed there. But they go here. Toronto is probably the biggest North American film festival. And so a lot of the other festivals, the smaller festivals around North America, usually go up there and catch a lot of them, because a lot of the world premieres come through. A lot of the international movies that are big that played at like Cannes or Venice or something, they come here. So this is kind of a good, you're catching a lot of movies that they're going to probably bring down to Savannah. Last year they brought The Front Runner, If Beale Street Could Talk. A lot of the movies that I caught while I was there ended up playing here, so it's a nice precursor to what Savannah's going
to
have.
And that'll be a nice precursor for us to have you to speak about those movies as well, because
as
I've demonstrated many times, not exactly the biggest cinephile. So
as long as I don't talk about people who have died and then won an award, I'm good to go.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Well, enjoy the trip. It's much deserved. And we're going to try to keep the hurricane away from us while you're gone, so you come back to having your apartment in good standing.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Zach. So that will do it for day one of the Hurricane Dorian Chronicles here on the Commute Podcast. Thanks, as always, to our sponsors, National Office Systems and Freedom Boat Club. We'll post another episode Wednesday, by which time Hurricane Dorian should be either bearing down on us or passing by to our east. We're rooting for the latter, of course. The Commute is a presentation of the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com, and is an extension of our daily opinion and editorial content. Get more at SavannahNow.com/opinion. We'll talk to you mañana.